Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Monday morning, September the 22nd, 2025, 9:22:25, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Now, allegedly, today is the first day of autumn. I know that's a meteorologist thing, excuse me. It's Monday morning. My mouth has rested over the weekend. But I know it's one of those things because I still think it's September 21st. Regardless, we are into autumn now. What is that, the vernal equinox as we head into autumn? In any event, here we are. We're in autumn. Summer's over, and what can you do? I guess those summertime blues have set in now as we're into autumn. Well, let's kick off the show this morning. The Thursday, September 25th, Now with Scott Spears show, is sponsored by the Industrial Channel. It will feature Frank Gibson of Manufacturing Career Connections. It will be a full 2 hours, and you are invited to call in the second hour with questions for Frank about workforce development and business development. That is the September 25th edition of this program. That will be Thursday. The guest will be Frank Gibson of Manufacturing Career Connections. And again, that's sponsored by the Industrial Channel, and we thank them for that. Well, there's a whole lot to talk about here. We've got Friday night's football game. We've got tonight's city council meeting, which apparently has some interesting things going on, as you just heard on the news report. And there's a lot of other things going on. But before we do that, what I want to do this morning, last week we were at the Little Brown Jug. And during the Little Brown Jug, I was doing the coverage with Mary Ellen Withrow. Governor Mike DeWine stopped by. And we were talking about this on Friday morning, and it came to my attention that a lot of people did not hear Governor DeWine from the Little Brown Jug because that was special coverage, and also did not know he was going to be on with us. So he stopped by for about 20 minutes. I want to replay that portion of the Jug coverage for you this morning. So basically what was happening was we were doing the show live. We really didn't have any idea when or if Governor DeWine was going to stop by. And this is what happened about maybe 15 minutes into the broadcast on Thursday night from the 80th Little Brown Jug. So enjoy this.
Yes, and I'll tell you, just going to show you never know who's going to pop up here at the county fair. 80th annual Little Brown Jug. It is the governor himself, Mike DeWine. Oh my goodness, what a pleasure.
My wife, Fran.
Governor DeWine, so good to see you. Have a seat here for a second if you can, if you have the time. Yeah, have a seat. Right there's a microphone for you. Governor DeWine, how are you?
Everybody's great at the Little Brown Jug, right?
Yeah. What's your favorite part of the jug?
I think it's just being here. I mean, just watching the horses, talking to people. You got people who, sometimes you only see them one time a year, and that's the Little Brown Jug. But you also have people that you meet from Canada and Lord knows where else. And they come from a long, long way. Even some come from Marion.
Yes. Too, right? Now, you and Mary Ellen go way back.
Oh, we do.
We've known each other quite a while.
We do. And she won the Triple Crown, right?
She did. Local, state, and
treasurer, and she got the big one.
She certainly did.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, what's it like to see Governor DeWine?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, yes.
It's great. I'm glad he came. Yeah.
So yeah, Fran and I are here, and we're having fun, and just wanted to frankly, come over and say hi to you.
That's great.
It looks like you're doing well.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
It's good. Is she betting anything? That's a question.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There's a bet going to happen later on. There is going to happen. The big jug race.
She's saving it for the big one.
She's saving it for the big one, the final race today. We're all excited for that.
How about you?
I have not bet yet. I've been asked if you lost any money. I said, no, but I haven't won it yet. unless you bet, you can't win anything. So,
Governor, you, what's it like to be out there when the winning horse is announced and you go out there and take the picture? What's that like for you?
Well, it's really neat because obviously everybody's happy. And you see who the owners are and they come out. They come right across the racetrack, and we're waiting for them there, and they're just so excited. Yeah. You know, so very, very excited. And to win the Little Brown Jug is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
It's a very big deal. And, you know, this is just one of the great things that we have in Ohio. We're very proud of the Little Brown Jug. We're proud of harness racing in Ohio. We have great harness racing. Still, many of our fairs, of course, still have harness racing. So, yeah, it's fun.
What is your favorite part about summertime? We're about to close it out here. Autumn's on its way. What's your favorite part about summer in Ohio?
Well, I got to give one. I'll give a little advertisement for our state parks. This morning it was announced that Ohio was named as number one in the whole country in regard to our state parks.
Wonderful.
And so we are very proud. We have 76 state parks. Our newest one is actually fairly close to where Fran and I live. It's near Xenia. And it's... were the Shawnee Indians in the late 1770s. That was their home. About 1,000 Shawnee were there. It's the place where they took Daniel Boone. They captured him down in Kentucky. They brought him there, right there. That is now Old Town, what we call Old Town, between Xenia and Yellow Springs on Route 68. So there's a lot of history there. And we created this park, a very small little park. We got a great visitor center, and we just wanted to kind of tell the story of some of the indigenous people were here, the Shawnees particularly, but also the settlers that were coming out. It was a time when, there was fighting between them, killing, but there was also they were trading back and forth. They were getting along for a while. So it's part of our history. It's part of our story, and we kind of wanted to tell that story.
Governor, do you have a favorite fair food that you like to grab when you're here at the fair?
No. I mean, you know, it's we all like the typical fair food, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a big fan of popcorn wherever I can find popcorn. If you walk into the grandstand there, all you smell is popcorn. So it's I haven't had my fix yet, but I'm headed over there shortly.
Well, we certainly love that in Marion. Governor, how are things in the state? How's the state of Ohio right now?
I think things are going well. I mean, you know, we're creating a lot of jobs in Ohio. You know, we're creating, frankly, more jobs than we have sometimes people to fill them. And so our goal, I talked this morning to many of the university trustees, the 14 public universities, the four-year schools, and the many, many community colleges, they have their trustees, and we have a big meeting, about 250 people. And, you know, I said, look, our biggest challenge in Ohio is we've got to make sure every Ohioan can live up to their full potential. That's what we want for our kids. That's what Fran and I want for our grandkids.
Yeah.
And but it also is what the state needs. You know, when a young person graduates from high school, first of all, we hope they graduate. But if they graduate and they don't have any kind of pathway, you know, we want to try to help them get a pathway because we want them to, whatever their dream is, we want them to find something they get really excited about. And it can be any number of things. It could be going to college. You have to go to college to achieve whatever they want to achieve, or it could be, you know, going into the trades. It can be all kinds of things. But as long as they love what they do, they're probably going to be okay. And parents are going to be happy if they find something that they love to do.
Well, and having you, Governor, here, and Mary Ellen, I've got to ask this question to both of you. Two very successful people in life have lived great lives, have had great careers. What is the secret to being a good public service, a good politician, and what's been the best part, Mary Ellen?
Caring about people. Yeah.
What's been the best part for you?
I think to be a really good public servant, and I'll follow what Mary Ellen said, you've got to care about people, and you really have to listen to them. You know, it doesn't mean you can always do what they want you to do. You know, they can't, people come to you, you couldn't fix every problem. I can't fix every problem. But listening to them kind of tells you what they're thinking. It tells you, you know, what you need to get fixed sometimes. And some areas where we need to do better.
Governor DeWine, when your term ends, what do you plan to do?
I'm not sure. I get asked that question. I've got a year and 3 months or so to go. I love what I'm doing. So I don't really know. I'm really focused on trying to finish strong and you know, achieve the things that we want. One of the things that we've really put a lot of focus on is reading, and what we call now the science of reading. When Fran and I were growing up, we'd refer to it as phonics, but we sort of got away from it, sounding words out. We got away from it, unfortunately, in some of our schools. Now we're getting every school back to do it, because now we know that that is by far the best way to learn to read, just sounding words out. And when you go into classrooms, Fran and I have been in a lot of classrooms and been really good teachers who are teaching kids how to read. And it's not anything that Mary Ellen, I experienced. It's much faster paced. It's these kids are all engaged, but it works, and they're sounding words out, and kids are learning to read, and that's, we just have to keep doing that, because that's the secret to success in school. It's the secret to success in life. You need to be able to read. You need to be able to like to read, and it's just, it's kind of basic, but we gotta, you know, we gotta execute with the basic things.
Mm-hmm. Has your time as governor flown by?
Yeah, it really has. My time as governor was you know, every term was different, but my first term, of course, was different because of COVID, and you know, we were dealing with that for quite some time, and it kind of dominated some of the things that we were doing, trying to keep people safe, trying to get through it. So that was a interesting period of time for all of us. But yeah, the time is flowing. I can't believe it. You know, I'm coming up on now almost 7 years as being governor. So, but it's, look, it's a, I'm blessed to have been governor. It's something that I wanted to do. And I ran, Mary Ellen will remember this, but I first started running for governor back in 1989. And a guy by the name of George Winovich was running, and a guy by the name of Bob Taft was running, and then there was Mike DeWine from Green County. I was kind of the third guy left out of that. But I often think if I'd actually been elected, I think I'd done a pretty good job. But having, you know, an additional 30 years of experience, I think was very helpful for me in doing the job that I've tried to do.
Governor, I got to ask you, one of the big parts of the Little Brown Jug over the last, really, well, since 1967, so close to 60 years at this point, has been the voice, Roger Houston, who's out there. I know you're friends with him. What has that friendship meant? And to be here today to see him, what does that mean?
Well, Roger's, first of all, just a great human being, great person, lovely man. You know, he set every record I think there is in calling, harness racing. You can go through the number of tracks he's been to and called races. He gave me some astronomical number, 180,000 races he's called or something like that. It's hard to fathom. But, you know, we did something today that I did a few years ago. For Anna, I went up in the booth and watched him work. It's always interesting to see someone who's a master, whether they're a bricklayer or wherever they are, watch them work. And to see him call the race, I don't know how he does it. I mean, he goes from one race to another. And, you know, he doesn't seem to be memorizing anything about the horses. And he's got, he just calls it. And, you know, he doesn't miss much.
Governor, we only got a few minutes with you here, but is there anything that keeps you up at night these days?
Well, Fran will tell you that nothing keeps me up at night. But, what I worry about is, you know, again, I'll go back to what I said before. I worry. You want to make sure that you do everything you can so that kids have the opportunity to live up to their full potential and get excited about something. And part of that is exposing children to different types of work, different type of jobs. Kids, you know, they may know what their parents do, they may know some high-profile jobs, but there's so many other fun jobs out there, exciting jobs, and we just have to let them know they're out there and get them excited.
Yeah.
And they're all different, you know. Some kids are interested in one thing, some another, but if they can get excited and find a passion, they're probably going to be okay.
When you look back at it all, you got a long way to go in life, but how would you like to be remembered, your time in public service?
Oh, I don't do that too well. You know, I guess we do the best we can, and you know, if open the wrong way, we made a difference for the state. I mean, I told the legislature the first state of the state gave, actually the first, I guess, the inaugural speech I gave, and they said, look, I'm going to be asking you to do things that will result in I hope good things, but we may not be allowed to see it. You know, we're going to do things that won't really take full effect. Imagine what you do for a baby. You're making sure that baby, the mom, before the baby's born, has good nutrition, and that mom has the opportunity to give birth to a baby that, you know, is weighs the right weights and not under weight. But that will make a difference if that baby lives as long as around, you know, that's almost a century. So you're having an impact what you do now for a whole century with that individual. And so to me, that's how we have to think about it. We can't expect results and things immediately, but we have to plant the trees, we have to plant the seeds, we have to do the things that ultimately we hope and pray will make a difference for kids in the future when they grow up.
And Governor DeWine, I've got to ask you this, with Mary Ellen Withrow here, 40th Treasurer of the United States, who was state treasurer for nearly 12 years here in Ohio. What does she mean to Ohio? What is her legacy, as you would see it?
Nobody's done what she's done. I mean, when you think about it, you take any office, and she's done it at the county level, she's done it at the state level, she's done it very well at both, and then she got picked by the President of the United States to go to Washington, D.C., and to be the treasurer there, and for the whole country, for all of us. So that's so different. It's so unique. And so, you know, Mary Ellen is a treasure for the state of Ohio, and we truly treasure her. And look, I'm a Republican, she's a Democrat.
I think you're still a Democrat, aren't you?
Yeah. But, you know, but look, it doesn't matter. Being the governor is you try to get the job done. Being treasurer, you get the job done. Doesn't really matter. That point, you know, we're all trying. So that's what she means. She means a lot to us, and we're very, very grateful for her. Grateful for her life.
You know, I'm interested too in your lieutenant governor. He's a very interesting man too.
Jim Tressel is a phenomenal man. He, I think, could be successful at anything he did.
Yeah.
He's out working on workforce development. I also asked him when I went to his house, friend, I went to his house in the diner and asked him, would he become my lieutenant governor? And I think he was very, very surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also asked him, will you head up a fitness campaign for our kids? And so he's right in the middle of that now. He's got over 100,000 kids signed up in many, many schools all over the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in there. I've seen it personally. I've seen videos of what he does. He has Ted Ginn Jr., great football player, NFL player, Ohio State player, who is working with him on this. And it's just to get kids, you know, again, exercising. And kids are at different levels. Some maybe not, but we've got something for every kid. We've got different levels for every kid. We just want to inspire them to go, you know, exercise and have fun.
Yeah. Well, would you like to see him run for governor?
Well, of course I would, but, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Jim is very focused on what he's doing as lieutenant governor, and I don't think Jim's going to run, but look, he would be a great governor. I picked him as lieutenant governor, if you remember, that happened after I picked John Houston to go to the U.S. Senate. He was my lieutenant governor. I needed a lieutenant governor, and look, the first requirement of the lieutenant governor, just like a vice president, is someone who, if something happened to me, he could walk in and be governor. And I had no doubt, after watching him 9 years at Youngstown State University, I had no doubt that Jim Tressel would be a good governor. And he'd be governor for all Ohio. You know, I've seen what he has done. I'll tell you a little quick story. We do receptions, of course, at the governor's house, governor's residence in Columbus. And so we told Jim, I said, why don't you invite people over? We'll do a reception. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to invite my player. And so we had 99 of his former players, and I thought we were going to have a little reception there. And it turned out, basically, Jim was having a team meeting. But what he wanted to do, he said, I want everybody in the same room, and I want them to listen to you, but also ask you questions. Of course, they also were asking Jim questions. But it was clear to Fran and me after about 5 minutes that what he was doing is trying to encourage his former players to become active in maybe a school board, or maybe run for county commission or something, but get involved some way, you know, whether you run for office or not, but get involved in government and understand government. And that's what he was doing. It was Jim Tressel continuing to teach. That's what he is. He's a coach. He's a teacher. And he was continuing to teach. He had 99 of them in there. Fran laughed because we have one room, they walk into a big room, and this house was built 100 years ago. People were a little smaller then, so all these guys were ducking down the door, getting through there. But just, he knew everybody. He knew about their family. He knew what they were doing. He would call on them. And, you know, one person was on the school board, and one was doing something else. And but that's what he was trying to do, to encourage them. And we had a great time with him. That's the kind of guy Jim Tressel is.
Governor DeWine, I got to ask you, what's the secret to a long marriage?
Oh, Fran, you want to take that one? Fran is, I can make some smart, my mother always said I was lucky, and I gave her a hard time, so mother, lucky had nothing to do with it, but I think, luck does have something to do with it, and having me and Fran I met in first grade, so we met in first grade, I walked over her house in sixth grade and brought her equipment sampler and some cross. Seventh grade, we had our first date. So, we got married when we were 20. She would get married. She would not get married until she turned 20. She said, "I'm not going to be a teenage bride." Anyway, so she turned 20 on May 20th. We got married on June 3rd. So,
Governor, I know you got to go, but here's what I want to say. I want to say, in the world we live in right now, for whatever people make of it, to have Marilyn Lithrow, a long-term public servant here, strong Democrat, and you a long-term public servant, strong Republican, together, laughing, reminiscing, having a good time. This is what it should be all about.
Well, it is. It should be all about that. It's about getting the job done, and Marilyn has done the job. Every single job she's done, she's done it very, very well. And we're proud of you very much, and I'm delighted to have the chance to talk with you today.
Yes, I'm glad to see you, too. Yes.
What a pleasure. The 70th governor of the state of Ohio, Mike DeWine. Governor DeWine, it's a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
What a pleasure it was. How about that? That is great. The governor stopping by, and we thank everybody for making that happen. Thank you so, so, so very much. Thank you.
And that was the governor appearing with us on Thursday night during our live coverage of the Little Brown Jug. And you know what is so interesting about that? Is that... so many people, I mean, it's a divisive time in politics. There's no way around that. But this is the 70th governor of Ohio, the current governor, a Republican. Mary Ellen, 40th treasurer of the United States, definitely a Democrat. But Governor DeWine said such effusively nice things about Mary Ellen. He greeted her with a hug when he showed up that day. They laughed with each other. They got along. Probably don't agree on a whole lot politically. And I think, you know, this is how it used to be. And maybe it's how it should be. And maybe it's how it will be again one day when the name-calling stops and all the things of that nature. But I certainly thank the 70th governor of the state of Ohio, Mike DeWine, for stopping by during our Little Brown Jug coverage. Now, does anybody have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. But the governor was very nice to stop by. We had a great time, and it was just a very good day. And he stayed with us there for about 17 minutes. And so many people who have seen clips or pictures or so on of that interview have said this is how politics should be. And, you know, I would have to agree with a lot of them on that. I don't know why it has to be so ugly all the time. Well, I'll tell you something interesting he said in that interview. Now, that was Thursday night. Well, we'll take the phone call and we'll come back to this. Hold on one second. Go ahead, caller.
Love your state.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
You know, that's what always amazes me. There's always that tug of war when there are campaigns and elections. And then a lot of times that tug of war continues instead of trying to think in terms, what can we do collaboratively to make things happen? And I think DeWine hit it. You know, do your job for some of these positions. Which brings me to the point, wow, it looks like they're not even going to let Tommy Reese slide out the last few months of his term.
Well, that's to be debated, because what we have learned about tonight's city council meeting, which should be an interesting one, 6:30 at City Hall, is apparently they're going to take a vote of no confidence. Now, essentially, we don't know if that's going to pass or not, but if it would, it really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything unless City Council tries to take some action against him through the state, which is very hard. I mean, there have been no confidence votes taken against the auditor, and nothing came of it. So, you know, here we are. I guess we have
It seems like it's retribution, a punitive action, you know?
Well, right, but I just wonder exactly why it has gotten to this level now when the man has only got 3 months left on his term and things have seemingly been quiet, and now they want to go after him. And I'm not sure why exactly. I assume we'll find that out tonight. But he's only got 3 months left. I don't even know if the vote of no confidence will pass. I think a lot of people say it probably will, because it looks as if the Republican Party is no longer in favor of him. But I don't know. I expect there to be some pretty heavy discussion about this tonight.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's at the very end or towards the end of the agenda, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But not a long agenda.
Yeah, I'm curious. This morning I tuned in to see what was on the agenda. When did Marion get a brand new website, do you know?
It was late last week.
Uh-huh. I wonder how much that cost. And why they had to put a new one up versus what was wrong with the other one, although the other one could have used some improvements, but a whole brand new website.
Well, that's interesting. And there was also a question. I was at the football game Friday night. We did the call of the action during the River Valley Harding game. And
that's
there
unbelievable.
Were...
unbelievable.
What's that?
That's unbelievable. Good for Harding.
Yeah, and Harding did win the game, but the at halftime there were some things out on the field, and they were Love Your City. I guess you'd call them banners or signs. I don't know exactly what you would call them, but they were probably 10 to 12 foot tall, probably 6 foot. To 8 foot wide. I don't know exactly the measurements, but there were three of them. Now, I don't know if those came from the schools. I don't know where those came from, but it was interesting to see them out there during the halftime show when the band was performing.
Wow. Ooh. Oh, man. These misguided people with good intentions, but what can you say? You know, I'm curious, too. I was thinking of going to the night's council meeting, but it seems like it could be a little on the long side, and I don't even want to be exposed to the urinating match about Tommy Rees. But I'm curious. Gus Comstock's been gone since, what, February?
Early in the year. Well, no, I think it actually happened around April or May, but something like that.
Well, I'm wondering, has Candu been in neutral? Has anything been done? I wanted to ask Ralph Smith, okay, give us a lowdown. What's happening with Candu? Where does it stand? Has anybody been doing follow-up calls? What's Denny Ferguson doing, you know?
Well, I think he's getting ready to retire.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, the county commissioners forked and put in whatever amount of money, but the city didn't. So, you know, is Candu still holding meetings, et cetera, and all of that? I talked briefly with Kevin Smith, who was, I assume, still the chair of Candu, and he said they're reorganizing. So I don't know exactly what that means, because as you may recall, the last time we heard, the mayor wanted to make it a government entity, etc. So, I think it's time we get an update on that, don't you?
Well, the last time we heard, the mayor wanted to make it he wanted to create a government position, and I don't know, like Leapfrog can do at this point. So I don't even know if the city has all that much interest. They did not give them any money this year, and it doesn't look like they're going to. The county did, so maybe they feel since they didn't give them any money, they really have no skin in that game anymore. I don't know.
I don't know. It's that's the problem with a government being too big, you know? It's like it's bad enough to wrestle an octopus. When you have an octopus with 16 legs, oh my word, it's difficult. Well, hey, here's to a better tomorrow.
There we go. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. Well, there's a few issues as we set the scene for tonight's city council meeting. But again, Governor DeWine, we thank him for coming on. And I do think that was Governor DeWine's appearance on Thursday night was emblematic of how politics used to be. May not have agreed on everything, but you could say nice things about the other side. You could have respect for the other side, and you could go on down the road. So again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now again, that interview was from Thursday night. Now, it's interesting because we did talk a little bit about Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel possibly running for governor, and at that point, Governor DeWine said he did not think that was going to happen. Well, it didn't take us too long to figure that out, because on Friday afternoon, less than 24 hours later, we found out that Jim Tressel is not going to run for governor. Despite rumors that Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel might seek the state's highest office in 2026, Tressel announced Friday he will not be running. In a post on X, Tressel called his term as lieutenant governor the extraordinary honor of a lifetime, but he wants to finish his term without the distraction of an election. The decision leaves billionaire Vivek Ramaswamy, who secured both President Donald Trump and the Ohio Republican Party's endorsement for governor, as the definitive frontrunner for the GOP. My goal is to help finish the amazing work started by the DeWine-Husted administrations, Tressel said. Ohio is winning, and it must continue. So, there you go. Tressel not running for governor after all of that speculation. We don't know where he's going to end up. I guess maybe he'll retire. After this whole bit, he did not endorse Vivek Ramaswamy in that announcement. I think that's kind of interesting. So now that leaves Vivek Ramaswamy on the Republican side. I believe we've got Heather Hill, who I now believe has become an independent because of her situation in the Republican Party, and Amy Acton over on the Democratic side. Will Tim Ryan get in? We're supposed to know by the end of this month. But that's about it for governor. For everybody we thought might run for governor earlier in the year, they're kind of all falling by the wayside. Sherrod Brown's going to run for Senate. It's certainly shaping up to be a whole different thing. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's kind of interesting to me. There were a lot of Democrats who I do believe liked the idea of Jim Tressel running for governor. And I think clearly Mike DeWine liked the idea of Jim Tressel running for governor, but isn't going to happen. Now, is that because the Republican Party and President Trump are all in on Vivek Ramaswamy? Is that what that's about? Maybe it is. I do think it's interesting that Tressel did not make an endorsement. DeWine has not endorsed anybody. Tressel has not endorsed anybody. I don't know. I don't know where they'll end up in the end, but this is where it is. on this first day of autumn 2025. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. As about all I can say now is just interesting times in the world that we live in. Go ahead, caller.
What's up, Spears?
Not much. How's it going?
You know it's going.
Another day.
Morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I liked it. It was a little gangster this morning. I liked it.
It was. You know, I spent the weekend in Michigan, so I got a little hood in me. No, I was actually in a lovely part of Michigan, so. Back to the trestle thing. I would have voted for trestle.
A lot of people said that. A lot of people who are not Republican and not big fans of Ramaswamy said they would vote for trestle. And I thought, you know, it was interesting because that announcement came on Friday, and I did the interview on Thursday night with Governor DeWine, in which he said he did not feel trestle was going to run, but then went on to list all of the great things that Trestle is and has done. So I don't find
a little foreshadowing, it sounds like.
I think he did, but I just also think that Mike DeWine and Jim Trestle have not endorsed Ramaswamy, even though really there's nobody left now except him. I think that's very telling. Now, will they eventually? Who knows? But they're certainly not doing it as they get out of the race.
I don't think Trestle has the, I don't know what word it is I'm looking for. I don't think he has the campaign spirit that's required. I think he's too kind, too nice to you know, the low, nasty blows that politicians and campaigning have become these days. I don't think Trestle has that in him.
Well, that's what I was saying last week about Mike DeWine when he came over, and Mike DeWine ran some serious campaigns, and he ran some negative ads in his day, there's no doubt about it, but the man himself, when you strip away all the politics, he's a nice guy, and I think he understands that this is politics, you try to get elected. But he's also a guy who can stop in and say very nice things about Mary Ellen Withrow. So, you know, I don't know.
Is there anything bad to be said about Mary Ellen Withrow, though? I mean, in fairness. And, you know, you can be a nice person, but when you have bad policy that affects 11 million people, it doesn't matter how nice you are.
No, but I'm just saying he did not have to go out of his way to say that. And a lot of people,
you're right.
And a lot of people in the world we live in right now would not. Even if they did like the person, they wouldn't
valid
do
point.
It.
Valid point. Simply because it would appear that he's, you know, you're talking to the other side. And we certainly don't do those things. We don't want to affiliate or definitely say nice things about the other side. But I was reading the agenda on the way home on my road trip. What's up with all of these censures and reprimands and no confidence votes and all that other stuff? What do you think that's about? I mean, we know what it is, but why do you think the timing? What's your speculation?
Well, I honestly, I would have to guess that something has happened. Now, I'm not exactly sure what happened between last week and this week that would cause all this kerfluffle for tonight. But something has gotten under people's skin, and I don't know what it is, but clearly it's going to happen tonight. And I would not guess. I don't know. I mean,
it was the auditor. I'm sorry, it's the treasurer. And what else? What was the other thing that was added by? I know they're going to give a no confidence vote to the treasurer, but there was something else that was added to the agenda by, and I can't remember.
Something about authorizing the auditor.
Payment. Okay. Yeah. Did you see the headline in the Marion Star? I didn't bother clicking on it because the internet wasn't the greatest at the time.
No, I didn't.
It was something about, like, council is having a problem tracing a $10,000 payment, making it sound like McGinnis took $10,000 and stuck it in her pocket. And it was from the week before where she had paid the bill without the authorization. Again, she's not supposed to do it. She's not allowed to do it. She did it. But she didn't write herself a $10,000 check. She paid a bill early or on time or possibly even late. She paid a bill before she told council she was paying the bill. And the headline made it read like, oh, she's running off on, you know, like there's $10,000 missing in counts. And remember when you were talking about somebody told old Abby to stick around and get an interview?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but the headline reads, council is having problems tracing $10,000. No, they know where the money went. She just didn't have the authorization to spend it.
Well, and I get it.
Isn't that misleading? That's totally misleading.
Well, that's what I've said is my problem with the Marion Star, is that they do things like that, and it's not done in a public meeting. It's done after a public meeting, and I'm not sure why they continue to do that. I would be a little skeptical if somebody...
I listened to the meeting. I wasn't even there, and I read the headline, didn't even read the article. And I know what the headline said was not true. And I listened. All I did was listen to the meeting. I wasn't even there.
Well, yeah, it's unfortunate. But as I've said...
But in the comment section, what's it full of? She needs fired. She needs this. She needs that. She needs sentences in. Blah, blah, blah. No, there's not $10,000 missing dollars. The way the $10,000 was paid was wrong.
Right. Well, as I've said,
I understand that, and not to get too far into the weeds, but clearly Abby doesn't understand that. Otherwise, she wouldn't have ran a headline with that story, or that headline with that story.
Well, I think stories are being planted, clearly,
that's
to make people look bad.
That's been going on for a while now. Mm-hmm.
Right, and the fact that nobody has jumped on that and made that a point, I don't understand. I really don't understand half the things that are going on down there right now, because it's odd that it's an odd 7-day period. I didn't hear anything about a no confidence vote in the treasurer, and I certainly did not know that there was all this animosity building up. Last week was one of the more subdued meetings, I thought.
I don't know where it's leading. And if, you know, they're going to remove someone, they've had all this time to do it, why do these stupid votes now in October?
Well, and he only has 3 months left on his term. I don't know what could be the big problem there. I don't know what could have spurred such an issue, but I'm sure we'll find out tonight, because somebody...
I was going to say, I think we have the right to know. So I do plan on showing up at this one. Like, why all of a sudden did... And it's a mixed bag of names, so it's not just the same people that we could normally predict would do these things. It's a mixed bag of people that brought these issues. So I think we have a right to know why all of a sudden they've been inspired to do so.
Well, and I think that's one of a lot of the big questions tonight. You know, why are stories continuing to be planted in media that are misleading and not true? Why is nobody bringing up the fact that the auditor's office, I mean, they'll say it in a roundabout way that the auditor's office has been left shorthanded, but they won't say exactly that another part of government
office
poached
coach,
the person.
Yeah.
They don't really bring that up. And now they're going after Tommy Reese again, and we really don't know why. And I don't know if everybody will be all in on that. But of all the things that he has done that they have clearly not liked, they never took a vote of no confidence in 4 years. And now we're down to the last 3 months. And knowing that he's not running for re-election, what could have happened in the last 7 days that would spur that? But it's clearly something that got under somebody's skin.
And we have the right to know.
I would think to take the vote of no confidence, somebody is going to say, why are we doing this? Somebody on council would have to say that. And I think somebody would bring it up, to be honest. I don't know how you could take a vote of no confidence if you did not explain why you were doing it.
Like you said, Scott, you don't know how understand half the stuff that's going on down there right now. But I know you've got to go to break, so I for sure will see you this evening.
Hey,
bless
thanks.
You.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back right after this.
As a more of a yell, war cry than a yell.